Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and I am the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you all for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We are here to celebrate life, to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And I'm really thrilled about my show today. The theme is music, mantras, and meditations, starting with my amazing special first two guests, Marie-Josée Vermette, and I know she's going to pronounce her name much better than me, and Dean Richards, who are musicians and sound healing music producers. They are a world beat music medicine duo who produce music for healing. We all are in need of healing. And their latest CD is Journey to Infinity. Their mission is to bring peace, connection, and empowerment through their music, and will share with us strategies for healing and wellness in our lives. Marie-Josée and Dean, thank you so much for being here today.
Hello, Nicola. Hello. Thank you so much for such a brilliant introduction.
Yes.
Oh,
great
thank
job.
You. The name there, you said it so beautifully, and that was my little attempt to get the pronunciation. So... what a joy it is to have you two here, because your work is just bringing so much joy. And we know from studies that listening to and playing music is a potent treatment for mental health issues. Research shows us that adding music therapy to treatment improves symptoms and social functioning. Music therapy has demonstrated, you know, value and impact and effect as an independent treatment for reducing depression and anxiety and chronic pain. It has so many positive physical effects. It can produce direct biological changes such as heart rate, blood pressure, cortisol levels. And so it's amazing what music can do. It's also known that it's the positive thought empathy to the lyrics. It really helps. So and it's a connecting experience. So my goodness, it goes on and on and on. Healing properties, yes. and the benefit of music in our lives. That's your specialty. I would just love you to tell us more about that, Marie-Josée and Dean.
Well, we are passionate about helping people feel grounded, feel harmonized, connect with their inner wisdom, with their authentic nature, with the music that we produce when we are the ones doing the offerings, you know, doing the concerts. But we are also passionate about empowering people in learning how to tap into their inner wisdom and their inner healers with our workshops, and our concerts are interactive. And in this way, we get so much out of connecting with the audience, and it's such a profound experience. And it
how do we get tap in? So obviously that it connecting to music allows us to connect to some in a resonance, and again, as the studies and these different show, of course, what it does within us, how we can create changes. How do we? I mean, we can listen to songs. We can listen and. What is it in us that we can stimulate on our own and really be more actively involved in engaging this kind of inner intuition and inner consciousness?
Well, I think you said the word right there, is accessing and tapping into our intuition and our consciousness. And mm-hmm. there's really, we call it a four-step process. You know, what we like to do is, We've found that with experience, the most important thing is tapping into an intention and grounding this intention in our hearts. And so from a loving space, having an intention of healing or releasing or connecting. So in our four-step, what we call the four-step process, the first step is connecting. So whenever, if you're by yourself in your room or in your bathtub or in your shower or in your car, and you decide, hey, I'm going to connect. I'm just going to connect to my soul. I'm going to connect with my inner wisdom. I'm going to connect with the ancestors. I'm going to connect with the stars or with God or my angels, you know. So connecting and then allowing yourself to release. So it can be gibberish, it can be doing a sound or something like this, or doing something more elaborate, but releasing with the help of sound helps to create space and then create a relaxed state. And then you can rebalance your energy using sound, and that's where the sound healing techniques and all of that comes into play. And then we can attain a state of harmony, because you know when we're in disharmony, when we're unbalanced, that's when usually dis-ease or discomfort comes. And so what we want to do is, everybody wants to be happy, you know, everybody wants to feel good, feel better. So this is kind of a way to do it. And then the fourth piece of the process would be to unify. So once you've connected, once you've released your tension, once you've rebalanced your energy field, if you wish, or your energy body, then you can have gratitude. You can feel unified. You can feel whole. So whole with yourself, with your soul, with the others around you, with the nature around you. It's quite easy to do if you just allow yourself to play, you know, and be really in touch with the inner child and be in touch with what is in reality.
Well, that's very, I mean, a lot of things really stood out for me, and because we're tapping into our sound. I mean, it's something that, of course, is a part of every human being, and we don't really. Obviously, we use our voices, we talk, things like that, and some people like to sing. But there's a real consciousness and tension behind this of being aware of a sound and using sound as a vibration is something that we all have the capacity within us to be really programmed and plugged into. And I think it's very rarely, you know, utilized in terms of, like, and I love that you said you could just be like having a shower, for instance, and having a positive intention, or cleaning your teeth or walking around, or in terms of connecting to our sound. Because that's something everybody can utilize, and we don't think about, like, how much the power of that vibration within us can shift emotions, shift consciousness, shift us towards joy and happiness, so that we have all of this power within. And, of course, you're talking about just letting go and not being self-conscious, because a lot of that gets in our way, and just really the surrender. So I'd love to hear more about that. So I'm walking, I'm in my home or whatever. Like, what's that process of just getting into our sound, our intrinsic sound?
Okay. You want me to answer that, Dean?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Dean could tell you that sometimes he sees me in the kitchen just walking with the intention of doing the dishes, and then all of a sudden I'll be stopping and then going, and here I am connecting with my feet. And so
there's also a few wah in there too occasionally.
so it's one thing that I want to make sure that I'm going somewhere that to that answers your question here, but really being present within our body, being in touch with what's happening, letting go of physical tension by, for example, just moving the feet and expressing a sound that comes from this place, and then moving our hips and expressing a sound that comes from that place, and then connecting with the you know, each of the energy centers, and then moving and having the intention of either releasing or bringing strength, for example. So let's say I'm in a phase of my life where I don't feel as strong as I wish I would be. Let's say I'm feeling, or I'm feeling maybe anxious, or I have feeling of being smaller than, or something like that. So then if I have the intention, it doesn't matter what sound I do. Of course, obviously, there's all these techniques, and we also give sound healing workshops, and, you know, I do online sound and intuitive sound healing. But the most important thing is to be just aligned with what is and to allow it. And as you said a little bit earlier on, I liked when you said something like not being afraid of not being in self-judgment or sounding a little bit weird and funny. And that's something that I like to do each morning, is I like to just open up my energy centers and allow the sound to come up. And sometimes it sounds completely funny and wacko, and at other times it might sound, if I have anger or if I have resentment, well, maybe that will come out, you know. And then by releasing it, then I have an opportunity to bring in some new stuff. And so once again, it's all about intention. It can be as simple as allowing ourselves to sigh, you know, with an open throat, with an open heart, and to sigh whenever we need to release stress or anxiety or emotions. Or sometimes we can't cry and we need to grieve, but we're not actually expressing it. And sometimes just relaxing your mouth, relaxing our jaw, opening the throat, and allowing a deep sigh will help us to reach that state where the emotion will be a little bit closer, and then perhaps we can express it with a little bit more ease. Does that answer your question?
No, it really does, because it's a real shift in how, I mean, it really opens up a deeper insider perspective, I think, for the listeners out there. Because, again, I think this is significantly underutilized. We think of our voice or sound as like music that you sing, or some that kind of song that we're singing, and like it has to be sound good, and if you don't sing well, you know, we kind of get judgments, or we perceive ourselves negatively. That kind of thing. So that it has to be perfect, and then our voice is but you're really talking about something that we can really resource at any time of the day, at multiple times. But because we don't have a consciousness turned towards that, and socially and certainly in our societies, this is just not part of, I mean, other societies and more indigenous cultures, this is more normalized. But for us, we don't have this kind of invitation to just allow our sound and our vibration. It's just not even talked about, and it seems odd, it's strange, and to let go, to allow, like I said, not self-conscious, is really a big part of what it is, an added bonus to that. And and to make it okay for us to, we can do this on our own anytime. However, if you don't have that consciousness about it, if you don't have that awareness of that resource within us, and which is why I'm so happy that you guys are here to really offer us this opportunity to recognize this inner resource that we all have within us to empower, to heal, to just create so much within ourselves. So for that, I think it's really something important for the listeners to hear and for you to share with us.
Yeah, and another little quick technique I do all the time is, we have a lot of nature where we live here in Squamish, and as you're walking, there's footsteps, you know, there's the wind blowing, and I tend to hum a lot, so it'd be like a bird singing. It sounds cliche, but there's so many sounds that add rhythm to what you're trying to do. So you could just be humming to yourself, as you're walking, and no one can really hear you. A car is another great place. You can shut the door as you're driving. The window wipers are going. They're giving you a beat. You know what I mean? There's a lot of places. And we also find that when we do our workshops, because it's a safe place, so we have like a dozen, 25 or more, sometimes larger, it's really, really interesting seeing people say, I can't sing, I can't do this, but it's being in a safe environment, and it just opens up, and it just feels so good to see everybody opening their hearts and their, you know, and everybody can look like a fool in front of each other because it's a safe place. So maybe whoever wants to do that, find that safe place, you know, maybe where no one can hear them.
And another, like Dean is talking about safe place, I find, like, for example, sometimes I'll go or I'll take people to the river. And then I will say, why don't you take 10 minutes and go by yourself, find a fun place that talks to you, and offer your song to the water, and pay tribute to the water. And sometimes we do this with, you know, we work a lot with the elements. We work a lot, we do also shamanic work, and so the elements of nature are a very important theme in our music albums, in our concerts, in our music journeys, and in the workshops. And so one way that we found that people feel more empowered and less self-aware, self-judgmental, is when they offer their songs, they give offerings and they pay tribute. So if you offer gratitude to, for example, to the wind, to the fire, to the ancestors, to your whatever, to your inner self, or to, then you're not as self-conscious. It's not about me all of a sudden. It's about the water, you know? It's about the children. It's about being a better person or creating a better world together. So.
And you can also sing to your emotion, you know, if you're really peed off or you're, you know, or whatever, you can sing to that emotion and go, you know, here's a gift for you. Either let go, please, or come to me, you know.
And we talk about the voice, but we also work a lot with drums and percussion. And, you know, Dean has been a drummer for all his life. I'm a percussionist. And drumming is something that is also very accessible, you know. And did you know, Nicola, that the first drummers were women?
No, I did not know. That's beautiful.
We would drum our men back to the home to bring the meat. And
I know you do that when I get back from the grocery store.
Yeah, there you go. Dean goes hunting, and I drum him back. But yes, drumming is also, you know, you put your hand on a hand drum, and the sound just comes out. It's not complicated. It's not it's not hard. And everybody has rhythm. Everybody has their own rhythm, you know, like the rhythm of the heartbeat in the womb of the mother. It's another aspect that's also very interesting is rhythm, and all the sounds that you can do with your body, all the rhythms that you can do with anything that you can put your hands on. And once again, you're outside, sticks, wood, trees, rocks, stones, they're all available.
Well, you've given so many, many incredible tools and techniques for us to really resource this. And I know you have created so much beautiful music yourself. And we'd really love, because I mean, we're talking about vibration, we're talking about sound, we're talking about tapping into our own and resourcing our voice and all these powerful ways to heal and sound. I would really appreciate hearing some of your own healing music for us. And I know you have a sample, so love for you to share that with us and the listeners today.
Oh, okay. So you'd like us to do something live that we'll improvise right here?
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
Set our intention.
So set our intention. Let's do something to... How about we our intention is to help the listeners move from where you are to where you want to be, to step into your power, to align with your purpose.
Uh-huh.
And we'll invite ancestral energy and support and wisdom to help us all on our
We'll do a condensed version.
Let's do that. Okay.
All right.
So you go, Ashem, Dora Aya, Arti, Orte, Ah, Kika. Kika, Sikha, Bae, Kika,
Thank you, Marie-José and Dean. Wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You are most welcome.
And it's very true, the feeling, no questions, that whole feeling that starting off with those the positive intention and moving that towards the voice, the sound, the rhythms, and it's so clear, you know, those vibrations in the body and very, very powerful. So what a treat and what a gift and what a blessing to share that with us, along with all of the incredible techniques for us to harness our voice and use sound within ourselves for healing and empowerment. We're wrapping up shortly. You've been an incredible joy. And again, so many amazing things to tap into here. Can you leave the listeners with a final takeaway that they can use in their own life to really resource their sound, resource what's within themselves for greater healing and to tap into those healing resources within?
Absolutely. If someone is feeling stressed and anxious before an important communication, it can be an interview, maybe conflict resolution that is hoped for, maybe a presentation. So we're feeling nervous, we're feeling anxious, we're not feeling very at ease. And so what I suggest is connect with your heart, take a deep breath, and then on the exhale, let out a loud sigh. So, and that's with the intention of releasing tension. So that's, I guess, the most important step. And then from there, you can, for example, think of the energy of an element of nature that would, you know, that would help you, maybe to empower you or to give you strength. So you can think of a stone or fire or something like that. And then from there, you can repeat the word fire, stone, or you can make a song with it. You can improvise. So on and so forth. But the important thing is take a breath, let out an ah sound with a sigh, and then from there, see if you have a calling for going further with sound, and just allow it, allow yourself. That's the first step.
That's beautiful tip. Beautiful. You've offered so many today for us, and we're really blessed to have you and privileged to be able to resource all of this incredible wisdom and access these skills and these resources. So to find out so much more, and I really encourage everyone to tap into Marie-José and Dean at their website, sacredfiremusic.com. That link is in the message board below. Again, it's sacredfiremusic.com. Their CD is Journey to Infinity. They have amazing tours and concerts, workshops, and albums, so please check out their site to find out more about their amazing healing work and resources for wellness, intuition, empowerment, and it's creating the amazing life that we deserve. Thank you so much again, Marie-José and Dean, for being here with us today.
Thank you, Nicola. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for creating space and creating this show to spread the word and love.
It's been a true honor. Many blessings.
Thank you.
We've had wonderful, wonderful resources and just so many insights. And we have more. My next guest is yoga instructor Katrina Rettman. She's going to offer more insights into living the amazing life. We'll take a quick break. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss Katrina's insights and all of her amazing skills for creating amazing living that we deserve.
If you want the best way to heal from life challenges, get Erica Tucci's powerful book, Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Erica Tucci's remarkable book of healing is available now on Amazon. Find out more at www.radiantsurvivor.com.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nick the Bird. My next guest is Katrina Rettman. Katrina is a designer and Hatha Yoga and Acrobatic Partner Yoga. Katrina's work is inspired by Buddhist philosophy and her passion for partner acrobatics. She will share with us how we can follow our heart through cycles of self-reflection and creative expression. Katrina, thank you so much for being here. It's such an honor.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm really enjoy the work that you do. I've done your videos on YouTube, so I'm happy to share you. And I know that life is the balance of connections with others and our own alone time. You know, we are individuals, we're also part of a group. And both have elements of control and surrender. And we dance and flow best in life when we are balancing control and surrender, when they're in harmony. You teach acrobatic partner yoga. And tell us first more about this practice and what it teaches us about control and surrender.
Well, that's an excellent way of putting it and a great question. So acrobatic partner yoga, which is something that's been kind of quickly gaining popularity, which is wonderful to see. So I describe it as an activity that it's a combination of static poses and dynamic transitions that involve at least two people, at least one of which is not on the ground. So then it has a lot to do, as you suggested, with this mix of control and surrender, and from both perspectives, you know, whether you're the person in the air or the person on the ground, and you're alternating between controlling the situation, you're always trying to stay in control of yourself, but often surrendering with a lot of trust to whatever your partner is doing, again, whether they're the ones supporting you or whether they're the ones at risk of landing on you, so...
Yeah, it's well, I haven't tried that. I do yoga, but I haven't tried your acrobat. But I watch it, and I'm like, I need to try this. But it's really stunning how much just even watching and observing it, I'm just observing this whole flow and the incredible lessons that it's providing in terms of, because as human beings, we struggle so much. We have, you know, with so much control issues where we all try to have as much control as we can over our elements because we're so vulnerable.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Learning to surrender and be vulnerable is a part of allowing to give up control. And in that whole dance, that whole practice, the amount of learning that a person must go through to learn those profound lessons. Yeah.
it brings every one of your fears and concerns right to the forefront, and as well as your strengths. You know, there's something about interacting with another person or another group of people that just increases the intensity of whatever it is that you're feeling. And again, sometimes that's, you know, struggling very publicly, and sometimes that's celebrating as a group. And as you said, this fear of surrender is so real, and it really, especially with a practice like acro yoga, where there are, you know, at this time as it's been developed, there's some really set ways to start, and there's very often times, and, you know, very definitely recommended, the presence of a spotter. So this third party who makes sure that both whoever is basing and whoever is flying can make safe transitions to the ground, sometimes planned and sometimes quickly. And so with this kind of safe environment, I think especially I act as a flyer most of the time. And for me, these questions of vulnerability and trust, as I mentioned, are constantly coming up. And you get this chance to really ask yourself, you know, what is it about a situation that makes you feel safe or not safe? Sometimes it's even the individuals that you're working with. I personally will get a different read on every partner, how far I would like to go with them with each move, you know, and how soon I will trust someone to become inverted with them, you know, having my head down and my feet up, which is a completely different experience than staying at a more easily controlled horizontal plane. And it's a great way to find out what you're thinking and have to communicate that on the spot and in a way that's receivable to your partners, you know, something that's hopefully you try to be as pleasant as possible, but sometimes honesty, you know, it's more important that you communicate a sense of fear quickly than politely.
Well, so many that I was really important lessons in this, and so many things, the takeaways, the trust, the surrender, the vulnerability, all of this, these things are so scary for us as human beings. I mean, in my work, I mean, that's the whole part. Being safe and vulnerability, all those key words. How do we take that kind of, I mean, because again, you can't be learning those things on the mat and in that experience and not internalizing that knowledge and learning these deeper awareness and gaining in wisdom around this and bringing it into your life. How has that, for instance, benefited your life and created transformation for you?
You know, I think that some of the biggest ways that I've seen benefits is really recognizing these fears as things that are very real and that definitely affect what we're able to do, and respecting them as things that we can work through. And sometimes we work through these fears or these challenges on our own. Sometimes we work through them with other people. And very often, one thing that I like to practice through acro yoga is breaking down the situation. So whatever it is, whether in this case, if it's a move, a transition or a pose that I'm terrified, how can I break it down and take smaller pieces and kind of get into this approach? Or sometimes it's just a conversation that it's important for me to open up with whoever I'm working with and articulate, you know, what if it's the fact that I'm upside down or the fact that I don't think I'm physically strong enough or I don't think they're physically strong enough or I'm afraid they're not going to be there for me once I commit to this move. And sometimes you'll find that even just speaking about it starts to open up some space to trust a little deeper and take the next step forward. Sometimes it's about breaking things down and taking baby steps towards these goals. But again, so I think that when I'm working in areas outside of my acro practice, whatever it is that I'm afraid of, you know, I just try to take it one step at a time, and try to make sure that you know that I know that just being honest about where I stand and breaking it down are always options.
Huge lessons. So many incredible life skills to learn and profound messages in this and learning. One of the things that stood out as well in when you were talking a little earlier is when you talked about your intuition in this. And when you said that you can sometimes you'll feel from the other person, you can sense move this way, you can sense do this. So obviously it's also really heightening or strengthening that sense of intuition.
Absolutely. And I think that certain individuals are a little more in tune with this than others. I tend to be a pretty sensitive person, and I tend to get a read on situations and people, and whether or not I'd like to logically agree with those, I've learned to act on them. You know, and a lot of this, again, when I feel that it's my safety that's at stake, I've gotten a lot more courageous about just being honest about what it is that I feel. And again, sometimes it has to do with people or moves. You know, what, again, when we're talking about being upside down on other people, what is it okay or safe to do with whom? So
that's just, I guess the next question was, what brought you to this? Because it's fascinating. I mean, when I think of myself doing it, I'm watching and thinking, wow, could I do this? Would I feel? Could I let go or allow or trust? And so for a newbie, for instance, how do we just let go? So I guess I was asking for your story and also for what happens with someone like me who watches this, and I can really see the profound benefit that it could have in my life on all these multiple levels, and to actually just give it a chance and to open up to doing something like this.
Yes. So I in a way, maybe I was lucky that when I first started, I didn't know what it was. And so there was not really an intimidation factor for me of what I was seeing. I stepped into a class with people who at first sight just seemed so advanced. And I did the most basic beginner pose that night, which is something that we all do as kids, and we call it airplane, where someone else's, you know, the basis feet are on the flyer's hips, and you take your arms out to the side, and it's just exhilarating. So for me, you know, as we're talking about, yes, there's this risk of feeling vulnerable and trusting, but the reward is incredible. There's such a reward of this, you know, a rush of endorphins, both from, you know, the adrenaline from being off the ground, as well as the, you know, this kind of reward and endorphins from physical touch, from the support of another person. And it's such a, just such an incredible feeling that for me, that first night, just doing that airplane pose, I was on cloud nine. I was up all night. And, you know, we kind of joke in the community that it's really an addiction. And I feel that way now. You know, there are very few other ways that I can get such a thrill while still feeling so safe. And, you know, when I rode a motorcycle when I was younger, and I called it quits for that pretty soon after, because, you know, the danger is pretty real. But in something like this partner acrobatics, there's someone there to catch you. You know, there's someone there to catch you if you fall. And so you just get all the reward. And for a beginner, I would say, you know, that it feels, you know, the rewards actually come immediately. I think that there's some practices that it takes a long time before you feel like all the work really paid off. But for me, for acro, just right off the bat, not only flying but basing as well, there's such a thrill of succeeding. And the joy is multiplied because there's multiple people involved. So if you get together with a friend, you know, and you've got someone basing, someone flying, and someone spotting, it's guaranteed all three of you will be laughing and getting a fantastic workout that you won't even notice until the next day. So it's definitely something that that I would invite beginners to do. And, you know, you can try it with friends, you can try it with strangers, but my words of encouragement for getting over those initial fears are that the rewards are great and so worth it.
Well, you certainly sold me, and it's just something that's so, well, again, it's so fascinating, and I can certainly see the profound results in terms of that, your personal transformation by going through this openness to that surrender and the trust and that whole tapping in. Do we need to have, for instance, done yoga before? I'm assuming that you start there and move towards that, or am I completely wrong?
You know, you don't have to have any movement background prior to. So it's called acrobatic yoga or acrobatic partner yoga, although it's not really acrobatics and it's not really yoga. It's definitely a merger of the two. And I would say that personally I'd been doing yoga for several years, but the poses don't translate directly. It's
right.
certainly helpful to have any background in movement or just kind of a experience with your own body awareness. But again, mm-hmm. I think I'm kind of the perfect poster child for not having those things. So I walked into Acro just very much square one. And although I'd been practicing yoga, I could still, you know, once you get upside down, you can hardly wiggle your right toes instead of your left. It's a whole different game. But for gymnasts, you know, if they walk in, people who have a background in dance or gymnastics, they can walk in and very quickly go through several poses and transitions with confidence. It's very easy for them to see more skills add up more quickly. And again, I would argue that that doesn't necessarily mean that you're having more fun. So starting with no background in movement is a perfect place to start. And for me, in fact, discovering acro yoga was what motivated me for the first time in my life to pursue a new level of physical fitness. I really pursued yoga more for the relaxation and meditation elements, but when I found acro yoga, you know, and I was immediately hooked, I decided it was time to get strong.
Right. Okay. Well, that's certainly very compelling and inviting as an opportunity. I know, Katrina, that you've done many different things, certainly, and you're multi-layered and multi-tiered, and I do know that your whole journey to yoga, I think, is quite fascinating in and of itself, because it was a journey for you to actually learn it and you know, gain levels of not well, I try not to use the word like skills because that's not really appropriate, but
right
and there were so many lessons for you in that journey itself of coming into that kind of lifestyle. What was that journey before that initial layer of your journey like?
I suppose, you know, one of the biggest things that I'm doing now, as you mentioned, I work in a lot of different areas. I do design, I model, I teach yoga, I practice acro yoga. And probably one of the focuses is that I'm using my body a lot, both for, you know, for movement practices. And again, with modeling, it's all about body awareness. And this is my form of creative expression. And that's actually something I never really saw coming. When I was younger, I was not at all in tune with my physical form. I grew up in a really intellectual family, and there wasn't a lot, you know, my parents didn't have a bunch to say, except they hoped that one day maybe we would gain a little bit more coordination than they had been blessed with. But so I didn't come into any kind of movement practice until I was in college, and that's where I was studying design, again, very intellectually focused. And you know, a roommate of mine had convinced me to join a gym together, and I started taking the group yoga classes that were right outside the spin room. So we'd have, you know, bikers at 90 miles a minute with the instructors screaming and the upbeat music while we were in Shavasana just trying to chill out. and somehow from there, you know, I was so stressed out in school, and after contracting mono my first year in my program, I was getting, like, you know, bedridden sick every 3 to 6 weeks. And I started taking yoga classes, and I made this connection that if I would go to class once a week, I stopped getting sick. And I knew it wasn't the benefits of the poses. I know yoga is supposed to be great for you, but I knew I wasn't putting my feet or my hands in the right place ever. But I really listened to the instructors, and I focused on breathing. So no matter what was going wrong with my positions, you know, I would just try to breathe for an hour, and that was doing the trick. And it was such a great way to manage stress that I never expected that would kind of be my doorway. And from there, you know, I started over the years, I would start to see muscles forming in my body, which was a really shocking experience, but I was kind of excited to see where that could go and, you know, and just slowly building intentional body awareness. And then again, bringing that slowly into my work today, but my beginnings were certainly a pursuit of calm and relaxation and increased health.
Well, your story is certainly inspirational for listeners out there and for many people, because we all have to start somewhere, and it's fascinating how we can see ourselves in one way, or have this is our life experience, and then be exposed to different things, and then discover so many different aspects of who we are, surprisingly, unexpectedly, and then those actually become the path of our life and the journey of our life, and that many things, and I know this has happened a lot in my life, that I have said couldn't even perceive as being me or not me. Once I start to explore them, I suddenly realize this is me, and it's just because I haven't had experience of it or learned or connected to that, or some things that I thought were me just because of experience, I realized not me at all. So it's just so fascinating that it's just the breaking through any blocks we can have in our head about what is who we are, who we aren't, and allowing ourselves to explore different things is really how we discover who we are, what we are, and can open us to so many life paths, because you went a whole 180 and moved your life in a whole direction, and now movement and body and everything is your life path.
Yes, I think that's an excellent way of putting it. I just I never would have believed that this is what I would be doing now, and it's funny because I think that growing up, you know, I always hoped that, you know, I imagined that I already knew what it was I was passionate about. And then it turns out as you get exposed to these different opportunities and you stick your toes in something, and the next day, you know, the next thing I know, I can't stop dreaming and thinking about acro yoga. And it turns out, oh, that's what it feels like to be passionate about something. You know, this activity I didn't even know existed 5 minutes before I tried it. And now, you know, it's completely changed the course of my life because I can't get enough, you know, and it's really fantastic to run into these things in our lives that we know we want to stay with us, you know. And the same for yoga. Once I developed a habit, I know that it's something that I'll keep with me forever. But, you know, certainly growing up, I never imagined that was something I would feel so strongly about or so connected to.
So do you feel now that you've gone from a very cerebral, you've gone to the body, do you feel that there is an integration of these two parts?
The absolutely.
Cerebral.
Absolutely.
How do you bring them together, and how did you bring them together as your life without a struggle or a fight, not one or the other, but like a harmony and balance?
Exactly, yes. I think balance is the right word. I think at first I explored almost completely cerebral, you know, very intellectual existence. And I think that the connection for me was pretty simple. Earlier in my life, I had a lot of struggles with depression. And one thing, you know, a puzzle piece that I didn't know about was that the physical form plays a huge factor in giving us endorphins. I didn't know that by bringing my body into the whole picture, I could actually feel good. And so now that's something I take advantage of. And I think of my physical practice helps me stay in a mental state that I enjoy more, you know, because I use my body regularly, because I exercise, I can keep myself happier. And that overall brings more balance to my experience of being alive.
That's so beautifully said. And I think that's so true, that just finding that balance and how important us to be really connected to ourselves and be connected to our body and be connected to that balance is what gives us the richness of life and the resources to be empowered and to feel really positive, and how important that is. And there's so many things that we can do in terms of exploring ourselves. And so what do you feel has been your biggest life lesson in all of this and in your exploration?
That's an excellent question. I think the biggest lesson has probably been to be as honest with myself as possible. And again, and transforming that to honest with other people. And, you know, like we spoke about earlier, just having this, you know, something that you, an activity you come in contact with that you realize is your passion. And even if you might have had other plans for your future, being honest about what it is that fulfills you, And, you know, even within that practice, right, I've found many fears, many things that I'm afraid of, and having to be honest with myself and, due to the nature of the practice, honest with other people about what it is that I'm afraid of. And there's this real empowerment that has come from this authenticity of being able to speak to what it is that I want, what it is that I need, what it is that I fear, and what it is that I need to feel safe, that has, I think, changed my life in so many different areas. You know, it's a lot of my metaphors, you know, circle around acro yoga, but again, this practice comes to every direction of my life. You know, it's the way that I teach my yoga classes, the way that I interact with my design clients, knowing what it is that I want and what I need and what I'm afraid of, you know, and just being able to be authentic, be forthright, and communicate these things clearly to myself and then to others.
Honesty, what an important element to living whole, I think, because it's human beings, we can compartmentalize and we can deny, we can ignore, we can pretend, we learn to put on masks. So that whole journey of coming to, an honesty first starts with our self-awareness. And so that's a very beautiful message that you've certainly and passed on to us today. And I think it's so important because that's how we really can live so much in harmony and in beauty. And we're wrapping up shortly, but I do want to touch on something that you've talked about how you came into yoga and your whole journey, that whole, you know, the slow pathway to your own understanding yourself or this journey. And so for all of those out there who are just, whether it's going in anything that they're starting out, I mean, the yoga or your acrobatic partner yoga or different things and moving forward in our lives to take a risk to something, what message would you leave them with? Something you've never done, you want to move forward. What lessons have you learned or what do you pass on to your students in taking that journey?
I would say that whatever it is that you're hoping to take on, take it one breath at a time. I think there's a lot to be said, you know, no matter whatever else is going on, you know, we don't always have control of the situation around us, but we can definitely control our focus. And I find that in times it can be stressful or nerve-wracking or just intimidating anyway. If we just follow each inhale and each exhale, you know, the situation will play out. But we can stay grounded and stay centered and just kind of watch it all happen with a smile.
What a nice takeaway. So beautifully said and so beautifully put, and something that we can all certainly work at to achieve in our lives. Katrina, you've offered so much for us. You have amazing videos on YouTube, and so you have so many incredible resources for people to go and find out so much more about Katrina. You offer lessons over Skype for anyone, so you can work with anyone out there listening. You can work with Katrina remotely because she works over Skype, and again, tap into her her amazing videos that she does, and they're wonderful work that you're sharing with the world. So we really appreciate that, Katrina. To find out more about Katrina, katrinarepman.com. That's katrinarepman.com. Her information is in the message board below, so you can connect with her information there. Katrina, thank you so much. If you want to leave any final takeaway or anything you want to add, please feel free.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate having an opportunity to meet with you and to be on your show. And I suppose my final takeaway is something that would be follow your passions. When you find out what they are, you know, no matter how surprising they might be, that's how you know that's the next step for you.
Beautiful last thought. Thank you again, Katrina, for being here and sharing all your wisdom and your time. It's an honor. Many blessings.
Thank you.
Great show today. wonderful, wonderful insights into how we can lead our best life possible. And the main message here, tapping into ourselves, really plugging in, being connected to our sound, connecting to our body, and how much power lies in here. This was a show certainly so full of so much content and information and knowledge that we can really, how much resources we have within, and that we are all that we need to succeed. So let's keep that in mind as you go forward in your day. Remember that sometimes we do have to go out on that limb to really claim the amazing life that we deserve. Check out my website, www.thewellness-network.com. That's an amazing site for information. I have experts and so many resources there for incredible techniques and tools and messages for creating the amazing life that we deserve. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb. Thank you for joining me today, as always.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.